The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show. Aren't you glad you're not in Minneapolis or the Dakotas today? A snow advisory, avalanche. They've had so much snow, blizzard advisories all over. They said it's the snowiest April in Twin Cities history. So we're glad we're in Tucson. I'll take a little bit of the wind today rather than that blizzard conditions. It is Monday. It is April the 15th. Excuse me, the 16th. Yes. And actually, tax day will be tomorrow because...
15th, isn't it? Today?
No, today is the 16th, John Munger.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, and tax day is tomorrow because some kind of holiday in the District of Columbia, and the 15th fell on a Sunday, so on and on it goes. The Buckmaster Show, available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line number 790-2040. If you'd like to join in our Monday political face-off, give us a call. Our face-off features today: John Munger, Tucson attorney. He is one-time president of the Arizona Board of Regents, also a former Republican candidate for Arizona governor. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bill?
Very good. Thank you for asking. Vince Robigo is with us. Vince, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Vince is a longtime Democratic Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, former head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. Our Monday political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John, how was the weekend?
Did you have a lovely good weekend? Lovely weekend.
What'd you do?
Well, Saturday I went up to a beautiful wedding in a Greek Orthodox church up in Phoenix.
Mm.
Just gorgeous wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Nice reception.
Played some golf. Lovely, lovely dinner.
So it was Greek Orthodox.
Yeah, it was lovely. I'd never been there in a Greek Orthodox church. It was a lovely church. It was the Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Phoenix. It was just beautiful. Hmm. Lovely service.
Didn't even know there was a Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Phoenix. Vince, how about you? What'd you and the family do?
I spent a little time with the family on Saturday, just relaxing, and then a good chunk of that time was also actually spent doing some work for some clients. So actually,
good.
It was a working weekend.
Opened the doors on the weekend.
Well, you know, sometimes people have emergency
situations, right?
And you know, they're courts schedule hearings quickly sometimes, and if you're going to be able to provide professional, competent service, you've got to be able to act when it's time to act.
Well, speaking of acting, Vince, what'd you think of the United States move joining with France and England in more than 100 missiles sent into Syria on Friday night?
Well, you know, as I was mentioning, I think right before the show started, I think everybody agrees that that chemical weapons are bad, and usage of these sorts of weapons against one's own citizens are just outrageous. And so from just a personal sort of human perspective, there's no doubt that these sorts of sites should be eradicated. But then when you start thinking about what does this really mean in the bigger picture, what sort of long-term strategy do we have as a nation? What has happened before? Was this legal? Usage of international force. I know we certainly join with our allies, and that's to be commended. But there's a whole host of issues here, and I think at the end of the day, at least I'm certainly don't work in foreign policy, although I've studied it plenty, and both in law school and when I was getting my undergraduate degree, and I followed this just for, as an observer, as many of you and your watchers, listeners do. The bigger issue that we have to look at is, what has it accomplished at this late stage, except for give Assad assurance that nothing more will be done against his regime? And by narrowing the use of force and not seeking out congressional use of force to take action against a regime which is doing this and has done this, that's the bigger problem. So in my view, it's very limited, and it essentially gives Assad comfort. And he's essentially, I believe, on the verge of winning this war to eradicate the rebels in Syria.
John, do you think this is kind of, Assad will look at this now as, okay, we've had the missile strikes, now he can rest easy, kind of business as usual for him?
Well, look, we aren't here, we didn't do this for regime change. We did this for one purpose, and that was to punish the violation of international law. We aren't trying to remove Assad. Obama long ago conceded Syria to the Russians, and he conceded that Assad is going to be in power. We're not interested in regime change. We're not trying to. So people need to get out of their mind that we're here to take out Assad. We're not. This was a one-purpose deal, and that was to stop gassing people. Gas is a violation of international war, and it always has been since World War I. So people need to get it out of their mind that we were trying to remove Assad. That's not the purpose of it.
Not what I said, John.
And I didn't say you said that.
Okay, well, I thought you were responding to my comment, so I didn't know what you're saying.
We're not trying to remove Assad. And we were there to punish. We did the punishment. Who knows if it will be enough? I leave that up to the generals. General Mattis, I have a great deal of confidence in General Mattis. Trump wanted to do more. Mattis wanted to do less. We ended up doing what Mattis wanted done. That's fine. I commend that. We're going to follow that up with more sanctions against the Russians. The Russians are there. We can't stop the Russians. People talk about, well, what's the long-term policy?
Right.
Trump has made the long-term policy very clear. We want to finish up beating the ISIS, get ISIS. Trump said the other day it's going to take another 6 months, and we'll take them out of Syria. Assad will be in control of Syria. We're not here to take Assad out. We're not here to do any more regime change. That period of our history, I think, is gone. It should be gone. And then we're going to leave. I think when people say, well, I don't know what the strategy is, I don't know how it can be any clearer.
Well, the problem is that the overall strategy with respect to Syria, nobody questions the issue about going after ISIS. The difference here is that, for example, the GOP and John are being hypocrites. And I'll say that again, hypocrites, because in 2013, President Obama sought congressional approval. He was about to strike Syria. We're not talking about those strikes he made against the ISIS targets. We're talking about Syria itself. President Obama then was pressured by GOP representatives and senators saying, no, you need to get congressional use of force. You are not, this is a use of force against another state, an actual entity which has existed for obviously decades and decades. And they challenged President Obama on doing that. Now, President Obama went on national TV. John Boehner actually said he would support the move if President Obama could whip up enough votes. And then it got mired in Congress. And so at that time, President Trump, hopeful candidate President Trump, which was a couple years in advance, was saying things like, there is no upside and tremendous downside, and it would be a big mistake if President Obama did not get congressional approval to strike Syria. So the hypocrisy to challenge President Obama, who tried to engage in changing the balance of power there against a regime that has committed tremendous atrocities and had been doing so for years, about 2011.
But he was thwarted, you say?
He was indeed thwarted and then backed off. because they could not get GOP congressional approval for the use of force, and then Russia brokered a deal for Syria to supposedly enter into this chemical weapons treaty. And then later, it was later that President Obama used targeted use of force against ISIS sites, not against Syria as a country. So the hypocrisy to claim that President Obama ceded Syria is just an outrage and a revisionist history at its worst. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying here is at this point, when you use these targeted strikes, all it does it destroy some of its capability to produce? Absolutely. Does it do anything about the delivery system? Zero is done about the delivery system because these were being dropped from Assad's air force. Nothing happened here today with respect to that.
Let me respond.
So at the end
respond.
Of the day, what's going to happen again, like okay. I said, is that Assad is more emboldened because he knows that this is the thin red line. He can go about obliterating entire populations in his own country without international response and with the U.S. simply acting as the chemical weapons police.
Here is the John Munger response to this.
Vince has basically raised two points. One, yes, there was a vote in 2013. What Obama was talking about was invading Syria for purposes of regime change, and the public and the Republican Party didn't want that. This was not about a targeted strike for punishing for violation of war crimes. This was, he was talking then about regime change. We are not interested in regime change. We're not interested in getting involved in another Iraq, another Afghanistan. And so that was an entirely different thing. To call that hypocrisy ignores the purpose of the whole thing. Second of all, Obama, in the process of when they first used gas, remember he drew the well-known notorious red line. Oh, if you do that, I'm going to do something about it. He didn't do anything about it.
They've been using red line in the sand.
Red line in the sand. I'm the great president, and if you do that anymore, I'm going to get you. Well, he didn't do anything. Meanwhile, the Russians have moved in. The Russians have made a deal. We are not interested, and they have naval bases, Air Force bases, Army bases, they're there. We are not here to remove Assad. Assad is there. We are here to remove ISIS. And that we've got about that about 95% done. They're in a very small area. And we're going to, as soon as we finish them off, we're going to be gone.
All right.
And the second point is that Syria, look, Syria's got a civil war going on. I don't want us involved in another civil war. And I don't think anybody else does either.
Okay, John and Vince, we're going to take our break right here. Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Not far from Moe's is my favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go by Moe's and then go up and see Steve and Sherry. They make such lovely breads. Have your sandwich there this afternoon during the lunch hour. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link there to all of our partners, including Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, a legislative update from State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro, plus certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley will have a live report from Italy. Buckmaster, noon to 1 during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Our team of commentators today, Vince Robigo to my left and John Munger to my right. And before the break, John had the floor, Vince, and he was saying that the Trump administration is not interested in any regime change in Syria.
Well, here's the point. The point is that John is, that's a truism, right? That doesn't address the bigger question of what has been a longstanding problem with a dictator destroying civilians across his country and the refugee crisis that it has created worldwide with respect to that. So let me, so the thing is anybody can, tactically send some missiles to accomplish this particular hoped-for result. That's not foreign policy. I'm talking about both foreign policy and where does this put us in the big picture. And what I was pointing out was the hypocrisy of the revisionist history by the GOP and John. And let me go back again, because John has falsely claimed that President Obama had proposed invading Syria. That is absolutely false. In fact, the targeted strikes that President Obama had suggested were actually somewhat similar if you combine what was done this weekend with what happened last year, along with some other elements. That is what President Obama was proposing. In fact, let me quote to you what President Obama said back then, September 10th, 2013. Quote, "I will not put American boots on the ground in Syria. I will not pursue an open-ended action like Iraq or Afghanistan." I will not pursue a prolonged air campaign like Libya or Kosovo. This will be a targeted strike to achieve a clear objective to deter the use of chemical weapons and degrading Assad's capabilities. So it was very similar. The other parts of this that President Obama was proposing was further and deeper and more well-funded resources to the rebels in that area, which is always a dangerous tool.
It sounds, John Munger, like Vince is saying that President Trump took a page of the Obama playbook.
And to boot, John is also completely wrong when he says that Obama didn't do anything, because it was after that, when he was proposing this strike, and then the Republicans fought him on unilaterally doing this, that at that point, President Obama started making, beating the verbal drumbeats. Wow. And at that point is when Russia said, hey, we've got this deal. Assad is going to enter this treaty. So then everybody, once he was going forward, changed
Assad,
it.
Talk about doing nothing and invading, absolutely false. What Obama was talking about doing was taking one rebel force and supporting another rebel force. And in the process, taking sides in their civil war and saying, oh, we aren't going to put boots on the ground. But he was taking sides in a civil war, and he was that, in effect, backing one set of rebels against Assad, and that's what he was doing. And then when it came down to the real crunch, and gas was used. And then he said, oh, that's a red line, by God, I'm going to do. And he didn't do anything about it. The point is not what Obama did. Vince is deflecting from what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is that this was a violation of international law, and it had to be stopped. We did targeted strikes. We're following those up with heavy-duty sanctions against the Russians, which UN Ambassador Haley announced the other day. And we're following up after the strikes. We're doing everything we can to make sure gas isn't used. We're going to finish destroying ISIS, and then we're going to leave and let them have their civil war. That's it. I don't know what people could ask for more than that. Vince is trying to deflect. I know, what Obama was going to do. And all I said was, during the Obama administration, Russia moved in. They are there. And the reason we didn't strike, you mentioned this, Bill, or somebody did, the reason we didn't strike the airplanes and the delivery devices is because they're mixed in with the Russian airplanes and division and
You're
and
saying
devices.
They're commingled with they're their commingled. With their assets.
So if you strike those, you're striking the Russians.
And then we have
a war on our hands, and that I think was a very good move. Now, if we have to do something again, fine, we'll do something again. But people need to recognize that this was a targeted strike with limited purpose. We'll see if the purpose was achieved. If it's not achieved, we'll have to do more.
You said earlier that President Trump wanted to do more, and Mathis.
President Trump wanted
talked him out of it. What did he want?
Well, I don't know. He wanted broader strikes, and that was all the press said.
Okay.
But I think that when people talk about taking out the airplanes and the various devices that could deliver these things, people need to recognize the Russian jets are mixed in with the Syrian jets. So you take out the Syrian jets, you're going to be taking out Russian jets.
And then
you've got a war on your hands.
A war with Russia.
With Russia.
Vince?
Well, let me just say that when President Obama struck Syria with respect to striking the ISIS bases, and I'm not talking about striking Syria directly, because that was not what was done when President Obama was there because of the GOP opposition. So instead, what President Obama specifically relied on was the 2002 congressional resolution for the use of force against Saddam into Iraq. And what happened when President Obama and also the 2001 anti-Al-Qaeda resolution, which authorized use of force. So in those instances, President Obama relied on prior authorization of use of force and was specifically asked by Iraq to go in and attack these ISIS sites. So when John just makes this wave of the hand and says this was a violation of international law, therefore it was justified, that's not how international law works. It may have been a violation of international law. I believe it was a war crime, what Assad has done. That doesn't mean that how it was done by President Trump in directly attacking Syria was, one, either authorized by our Congress properly, or two, that it is justified under international treaties, because it wasn't, or under any specific United Nations security resolution.
The bottom line is this: they want to claim.
Therefore, we get to do it just because we get to do it, and that's not international law. I'm sorry, but I've got to point that out because you got to be consistent.
All right.
The bottom line is, Trump had the guts to do it. He made it happen, and I'm glad it happened. The world, we weren't alone. We were joined by France and Britain, and thank God we did it.
All right.
And good luck with arguing that he didn't have the power to do it, because the American public agrees that it needed to be done, and thank God we did.
It's just entrenched a terrorist-sponsored state even more by giving him comfort that
so
that's all that's going to happen.
You want regime change.
If he needs to be taken out.
Oh, all right. I see. You're in it for regime change, and we're not. Now we've drawn the lines.
I'm happy to draw that line.
John Munger and Vince Robigo, thanks, guys. Have a great week. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, moesgallery.com, and on Facebook. Check out Moe's for all of your framing needs and a lot more. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, April the 16th. The wind's starting to kick up again, maybe like gusts up to, 35 miles per hour, somewhere like that. We'll get through it. Green Things wants you to pay them a visit, and you will not regret it if you're into gardening like I am. 3384 East River Road. They have everything you need. By the Rito Riverwalk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Everything you need for your gardening supplies, and they're on 13 acres. And go to their website, greenthingsaz.com, for their upcoming gardening workshops, which are free and provide a terrific service to Tucson's gardening community. Let's go now to one of the Buckmaster Show contributors. I'm so proud of this group of people, 24 of them, who regularly contribute to the program, people who are experts in their particular areas, and Keith Rosenblum certainly qualifies as an expert on Mexico. Keith is our Mexico contributor, former Arizona Republican, Arizona Daily Star reporter who covered Mexico. Keith, how are you?
Good, I'm doing well, and I was just wondering, apropos of one of your previous commercials, whether if someone spotted you at Sky Harbor Airport, could you be blackmailed?
You know, I don't.
People in position of influence who actually have vulnerability, and I think that once I saw you walking through Concourse C at Sky Harbor,
I don't.
Mum's the word, at least until I get a check from you.
No, I always, or if humanly possible, fly out of Tucson International Airport, one of our fine sponsors. Today's a big day on the other side of the border in Nogales, Sonora, isn't it?
It is, because this is now campaign season, and I'm actually en route to see Andres Manuel López Obrador, who, from my standpoint, unfortunately, is the front runner in the presidential election. He's been running for this office for the better part of 2 decades, and given the gray nature of all the other candidates and Mexican politics generally, Mexico is headed for having a Donald Trump clone in the person of López Obrador. He's in Nogales, Sonora today. I think this is a 2 or 3 day swing through Sonora. Sonora is only 5% of Mexico's population, so it surprises me that he's there this soon. But Buddy, Jesus Puyol, is running for mayor of Nogales, Mexico, and this might be to give a quick boost to some of the strong municipal candidates. So López Obrador was running for a 6-year term. The elections, I think, are July 1st, and then he will, barring anything really freaky, he will take office I believe it's the 1st of September.
What did you make of that New York Times piece about Mexico? The Congress in Mexico will limit the spending of the government. Why would they want to do that to curb advertising spending on radio and TV and newspapers?
Government spending in Mexico is a higher proportion to media and to PR than the U.S. and a lot of other countries. It's designed to keep a control on the press. There's a very famous Jose Lopez Portillo quote where he was taking away a subsidy that they gave to a magazine. The magazine was called Proceso. And the famous quote in words more or less is, te pago para que me pegues, which is, I'm paying you in order that you beat me up or that you wallop me. And that's what he used to take away subsidy. It's commonplace, as it is in the U.S., by the way. I mean, we have to take a step back before we get too pious and realize that franking privileges, for example, when you get something in the mail from Congresswoman McSally or you get something from a senator, they are always the gateway to your happiness. It's the senator brings this, or the congressman brings that, or right. The governor brings it. A lot of times they're state or federal, they're existing programs, and the elected rep did nothing at all to facilitate it, except for they're there to receive the glory. In the case of Mexico, it's more pronounced. There's subsidies all over the place, and the government is always promoting itself. And that's the sign of an insecure democracy, and that's worldwide. And so the idea that Mexico is somehow going to legislate this, yeah, maybe they will, but it'll pop up in other ways. They don't have as strong a private sector as we do, and so therefore advertising dollars, what you don't have from the private sector, you kind of compensate with. And this is also a European model, by the way, with a lot of the political parties. They keep, like the Christian Science Monitor, something, a medium is kept alive, not by its advertising, but rather by some group, political or governmental, that supports it.
Getting back to the campaign appearance of the front runner in Sonora today, what do the polls show on that race, in the presidential race?
Let me show you allow the introduction of a legal term that is not normally applicable to this, but it's nolo contendo. I give up. I don't have anything to contest. It's like the equivalent of I give up. But the polls show is that Lopez Obrador is so far in front that it's insurmountable. There could always be some gap. Other freaky things have been known to happen in politics all over. But the polls show, and I can tell you anecdotally that it's true, that he's probably right. He has the possibility, actually, of getting a majority of the Mexican electorate, which that hasn't happened for like three or four election cycles. That's where you win more than 50%. All the President Peña Nieto, President Calderon, President Fox, all these past presidents have come in with a plurality. They come in with 35 or 37 or 38% and then had to fight it out with an opposition Congress. It's possible to me that Lopez Obrador will come in with more than 50%, which would be remarkable. And then the question really is he the party? Because he does not have today a real party apparatus. In some ways, it's not really similar to, but you can at least understand it vis-a-vis Donald Trump kind of shopping for a party, winding up with the Republicans, and then having to go and find people that fit his ideology within the Republican ranks or sometimes within the Democrat ranks. So in the case of Lopez Obrador, he will be elected, but the question then becomes, what about all the governors and all the mayors, all the people who don't share his views, but he had to scrap to get a party? Because bear in mind, the Morena Party, which is what the ticket that he's running on, has only been around for, I don't know, 5 years or 6 years. So it's not a mature party. It doesn't have the depth that the PRI or the PAN or the PID have in Mexico. Those people can field a meeting with all their local councilmen, their mayors, their governors. In effect, Morena is a party of Johnny-come-latelys.
What is so appealing about this gentleman? And you say he's very much kind of in a Trump strongman model. Why is that appealing to Mexican voters?
Well, it's not. The question is phrased the wrong way. The question is, why is Mexican politics so unappealing? He's going to get that if we in the States voted, let's just say we voted one third of our votes were a rejection, or some percentage were rejection of Hillary Clinton for who she is and just politics the way that it's come to be in 2016 in this case, in our case. In the case of Lopez Obrador, it's a Mexican need for change in their, I think the biggest single line that Mexicans could come to regret is ya no nos puede ir peor, which is it can't get any worse for us. Well, guess what? You wait. It can get a lot worse, but the disenchantment with the existing party structure is so profound that there's this sense that anybody would be better than the existing mechanisms. And so Lopez Obrador is going to get, let's vote for Andres Lopez favorably because he's a good guy and he's going to bring change. that will be one vote that he gets. And for every one vote like that, there are going to be two or three that say, we're just so sick of the party system the way it is today that we'll vote for anybody who's in that slot. And, hey, that happens to be Andres Manuel López Obrador.
So it's like the drain the swamp in Washington has now drained the swamp in the federal district of Mexico.
Yeah, multiply by a big way. It's not the swamp. It's an ocean or some vast, like, lake or something. It's a discontent at a major level. Let me put it to you this way. The people that I hang out with, if I got 10 of those, my friends together, there would be one or two votes for López Obrador. I think there's a certain group that that pays attention to politics. I'm not going to become elitist or snobbish about this, but there's a certain group that knows what can happen and how things can get worse. And who understand that even if things aren't great today, that between NAFTA, between where Mexico is in the world, between it being a safe country, the pea in the pond and to a certain extent the PRD haven't been that bad. It's a corrupt system, as ours is in many ways a corrupt system, but it's not that bad. But if I got 10 people that I don't hang out with very regularly, but they're at the bus station in Nogales today or somewhere else, who are despondent, who are actually the real third world or second world and, headed toward third world of Mexico, those people really do believe in their hearts that it can't get worse. And so, therefore, these campaign promises of López Obrador, which are really bizarre they can't be executed. They're not just improbable. There's not the funding for them, not anything for them. They're still going to buy into it. They're going to buy into it, and they're the ones that are going to elect the next president, not the group of people that I know.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much for your insights as you head down.
I think I saw you at Skyhope Airport. I don't care. Really, I'm not sure what you're saying.
Keith Rosenblum, thanks a lot. On his way to cover a political rally in Nogales, Sonora, where the front runner in the presidential election will be appearing later today, that election coming up the first week in July. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show Monday edition. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway, especially when our temperatures go above 90 degrees. It's probably 10 to 15 degrees. I know 10 to 15 degrees cooler over in Silver City. It's only a 3-hour drive. Go to their website. A nice website, got all the information about where to stay, and there's some really nice places to stay in Silver City, a historic community, and so many ideas for recreation on the website in Silver City in Grant County. The website is southwestnewmexico.org. Diana Cannon is with us. She is the Chief Development Officer for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, where exciting things are going on. How are you, Diana?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, you got a big smile on your face, and why not? The new facility for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona is now officially open.
The doors are open. The activities are going on. It is just, it's so, so nice to be in such a wonderful facility that benefits the animals and those of us who love and work with them.
This has been years in the making, getting this together. I mean, you've been working very hard, very tirelessly to try to put together the financial needs to really make something like this happen. And you're getting close to that goal, aren't you?
We are. This campaign actually started in 2010. Mm. So we're 8 years in the making.
Wow.
And with a $10 million goal. And so through the 8 years, we've managed to raise about $9.3 million. So we're still a little bit shy, but we were able to take out a loan, get the balance done. So we're still fundraising, because what we want to be able is to use the funds that our donors give to us to take care of the animals. So if anyone's interested, we've still got lots of naming opportunities on our wonderful, beautiful campus.
Where would those opportunities be? I mean, where would your name appear if you had... would like to make a donation?
It's at a variety of levels.
Okay.
At certain levels, we have a beautiful donor wall right at the entrance to the Welcome Center.
Very good.
And then each one of the buildings, meaning the clinic, admissions, and adoptions, all have independent naming opportunities as well.
What kind of a donation would that cost to get on the wall?
On the wall would be $5,000 and up.
Okay.
Now, you can name a bench for, you know, if you want. You can buy a butterfly for $250. You can name a tree for $1,000. So
all sorts of opportunities.
There's lots of opportunities, and I'd love to be able to talk to anyone who's interested in, and you know, it's a nice way, Bill, to memorialize a loved one or a pet, you know, that you've had. It's just a really nice way to be able to recognize those that have been in our past and that are also here with us today.
So many of my Facebook friends, Diana, know I love animals. And it always breaks my heart, of course, when I see the picture of a loved animal that had to be put down.
Right.
And
right.
These people are hurting. I know. I've been there in that
me too.
Position. And this actually would be kind of a nice way to channel some of that grief into a naming opportunity.
And we have so many people that love to be able to do this. And if they'd like to contact me, I could show them the memorial wall, mm-hmm. The tribute wall, what the donor wall looks like. Happy to show it all off. We're excited.
Where is the new facility? Give our listeners who have not been following this, give us the details of the new facility, and I suppose they could take a look and a walkthrough, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We are located at 635 West Roger Road. Mm-hmm. So we're just west of the intersection of Roger and Oracle. We're very easy to find.
And the facility itself is state-of-the-art.
It is state-of-the-art. We were blessed to be able to, through the generosity of this community, through grants and donations, that we were able to purchase all new medical equipment. So our diagnostic evaluations can be done right on site, and the veterinarians can make a determination right there. They don't have to send blood out to be analyzed. They can do it right on the premises. And then we've got, you know, that means we can speed up the care for the animals and make sure we get them healthy.
The spay and neutering area?
Our clinic is, again, state of the art. So we do our spay and neuter for the community and for our shelter pets. We have our vaccination clinics that we do Wednesday and Saturday mornings for the community. We now have a dental suite in our new clinic. Now, the dental suite is right now just for shelter pets. Mm-hmm. But what that means is if you want to adopt a pet, when you come in, you know that they've had that full examination, including a dental.
All right, so you're not bringing home an animal with dental issues necessarily.
That's
hopefully
correct.
Hopefully, no dental issues. Your big fundraiser of the year is just around the corner.
It is. It's Saturday.
It's putting on the dog.
Yep. And it's our 20th anniversary.
20 years already. Wow. Where is that going to be?
That's going to be at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort. It's at 5 o'clock, and tickets can be purchased through our website at www.hssaz.org/POD.
Or if you just Google Humane Society.
Yep, that works
Southern
too.
Arizona, you'll find out more about it.
Or you can buy tickets at the door too.
Yeah, what is the ticket level?
Tickets pre-purchased are $135 a piece. At the door, they're $150. But that includes hors d'oeuvres from 19 different restaurants are participating with us. It's a live auction, silent auction. It's pet friendly, so mm-hmm. if you have a well-behaved pet, you want to bring your pets, you can. And this year we have a theme we've never had before. So
what's that?
We have an all-white theme. So we're encouraging our guests to wear white in recognition of our 20th anniversary. You know, not required, but it can be fun. So that's our theme, but we're really excited about celebrating 20 years of this fabulous event.
How about adoption levels? How are they looking these days, Diana?
You know, our adoptions have really gone up a lot. And I think because we're easier to find mm-hmm. And the animals are seen in a better light because they're in bigger kennels. They've got play yards they can go out.
There's a cat area.
And the cattery is...
The cattery.
We have four catios, as they call them. So that's free roaming. So the cats can just go... They go in there and they free roam. So you can go in and you can visit with a cat there. We really thought through all aspects of this design.
Is there a cafe?
We do have a cafe.
Whoa.
We have a cozy cafe, so folks can come in and have a cup of coffee and, you know, and then go spend some time with a future family member.
And the other facility, my goodness, you were the Humane Society was there, I think, pre-World War II.
It's been 73 years.
Oh, yeah, 73 years. So what happened to that old facility then?
Well, we're cleaning it up, okay. And it's up for sale.
Oh, okay.
So if anyone is interested, mm-hmm. you can contact me for that, too.
Oh, really? Okay. Was that a big deal, difficult to move all the animals? How did that transfer go?
You know, it went so well. Well, Bill, we transferred 170 animals
Whoa.
On the day of, and thanks to one of our board members, who Tanya Barnett, she sponsored an adoption event prior to the move so that we could have fewer animals to move because
right.
it's stressful for them.
Of course.
So we adopted 22 animals out prior to just before the move.
Wonderful. But they didn't have to be moved over to the new facility.
Right.
They were moved and gladly, I'm
moved
sure.
to a new home.
To a new home. Hopefully
yes.
a forever home.
Right.
Diana Cannon, always a pleasure. Where can people find out about what you are doing at the Humane Society?
At hssaz.org.
All right. And again, tickets are available for the Putting on the Dog event.
Yes.
This Friday.
This Saturday.
Saturday at
5 o'clock at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.